But this is a dramatic story, isn't it? As you read that story, if you're reading that story for the first time today, if you've never heard that story before, then boy, that's a dramatic story. But even if you have read the story before and if you've heard it before, it's still dramatic, isn't it? It still jars. It's a perplexing story. Why would God do this? What sort of a God is he? It's a bit shocking, isn't it, like that? What sort of a God is this that we believe in? I read a shocking story during the week in the paper, a story about a family of four who were found in their home. All of them were dead, a mum and a dad and two kids. Their family had said a week before they seemed quite happy. They were at a family function, quite happy and normal. Their neighbour had said everything seemed normal. But when they went in, they found the family was dead and it looked like a murder-suicide. The father had killed his kids and then committed suicide. And you say, what sort of a father would do that to his kids? But we read a passage like this and we say, what sort of a God would ask a father to sacrifice his own son? What sort of a God is he? In chapter 21, the first bit that Brett read to us, we're introduced to God as a God who keeps his promises. If you flick back to chapter 21, you see in that first couple of verses, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. You see, God did what he promised in verse 1 and in verse 2 at the very time that he had promised. And that's an important thing to think about, the timing of God's promise. He did it exactly at the time he promised, because it's referring back to chapter 18. So flick back a couple of chapters and to chapter 18 and verse 14. Because the Lord had told Abraham and Sarah that they would have kids. When Sarah heard this, she laughed because of the idea of having a kid in her old age. But verse 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. God says, at the right time, I'll come back, and Sarah will have a son. But notice the first part of that verse, is anything too hard for the Lord? The fact that God has done it at the right time says nothing is too hard for the Lord. He is powerful to keep his promises, and he will keep his promises. He is a faithful God that we can trust. He is a God who keeps his promises. He is gracious to Sarah. He showed favour to her, even though she laughed at him when he said, you will have a son. God is gracious to her, and she bore a child. God is introduced to us as a God who keeps his promise, which makes chapter 22, verse 2, even more jarring and perplexing. So back to chapter 22 and verse 2. God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. See, here's a God you thought was trustworthy and reliable. A God who then asks Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, to make a burnt offering out of Abraham's hope and future. What sort of a God is this? What sort of a God would do this? Why? Does God want child sacrifices? The answer is clearly from the Bible, and thankfully, no. God doesn't want child sacrifices. We're going to have a look at a verse on the screen from Leviticus chapter 20. And this is God talking about the practice of sacrificing to the false god Molech. People used to bring their children to sacrifice to this god. And the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, any Israelite or any alien living in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech must be put to death. The people of the community are to stone him. I will set my face against that man and I will cut him off from his people, for by giving his children to Molech, he has defiled my sanctuary and profaned my holy name. The practice of child sacrifice was abominable to God. He couldn't stand it. Does God want child sacrifices? The answer is clearly no. So why? Why does he say to Abraham, go and offer up your son Isaac as a burnt offering to me? The immediate answer is in verse 1 of chapter 22. An immediate answer, not an easy answer, but an immediate one. Chapter 22, verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. There's a test. This is a test of Abraham's faith and obedience. And you say, surely there must be an easier way to test his faith. Surely there must be an easier way to test Abraham's obedience. But this is a big test, isn't it? This is a huge test. If God takes away the blessing of the son who would be the beginning of the future that God had promised for Abraham and his descendants, would Abraham still trust God? Even if he took away the promised one, the promised son. If he took everything away from Abraham, would Abraham still trust God? See, when it comes to testing, it's very easy to say, isn't it, that we trust God when things are going good. When everything's going well, we can say, yeah, I believe in God, I trust God, he's given me what I want. But what about when all the good things are taken away? Our health, our happiness, our hope for the future. When all those things are stripped away, then we'll see the true reality of our faith. Does it really exist? Is it faith in God through good times and bad times? Will we trust God in the hard times? Will we trust God when he asks us to do difficult things that threaten our peace and happiness and security? Will we trust God then? Will Abraham's faith stand up to this sort of a test? Many of you know that the old hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," and some of you know the story behind that hymn. The guy who wrote this back in the 1800s, his name was Horatio Spafford. What a great name. If you're going to have kids, who's going to have a kid? That's a good name to call your kid. Horatio Spafford. Well, Horatio was a man who went through several traumatic events in his life. First of those was the death of his only son in 1871 at the age of 4. And shortly after the death of his son, there was the Great Chicago Fire, and it took away a lot of his wealth and his property. And then in 1873, he had planned to travel to Europe with his family, and he got held up in business. His family went ahead of him on the boat, and the boat sank, and all his children were drowned. Only his wife was saved. And you can see there at the top of the screen there, there's a telegram that she sent to her husband, which says, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" What a terrible message to have to send to your husband. Saved alone, what shall I do? A little while later, as Horatio was travelling to meet his wife in England, he was travelling the same route over the same waters. And he wrote down this hymn, this great hymn, with these words that we'll see on the screen. "When peace like a river attendeth my way." When everything's going well, when everything's peaceful and good, when things are going well, or in the second line, "when sorrows like sea billows roll." When things are going so bad, it's like waves are crashing over me all the time. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Whatever happens, can you trust God in everything, whether things are going well or things are going badly? At the men's breakfast a couple of weeks ago, we had a great message from our speaker, Dave Fisher from Moree, a young guy. He's the assistant minister up there now. He told us about when he was engaged in his early 20s to be married, and his wife was discovered she had cancer. And so they put the wedding forward so that she could be treated after they were married. And so they were married, she went through treatment, things went into remission, and they thought she'd beaten it. 6 months later, it came back, more tumours. They treated those ones, thought they'd beaten it. 6 months later, more tumours. It happened 3 times over the 3 years. Struggle with surgery and treatment, only for these tumours to keep reappearing. His wife died when he was 26 years old. What an incredible thing to have to go through. And I know all the men, and I was particularly at this breakfast, deeply impressed by Dave's trust in God through this terrible tragedy? Can you trust God in the good times and the hard times? How about you? How would you react if everything was stripped away? Are you only in it for the blessings? Or are you ready to obey God, come what may? This is not an easy thing for Abraham. This is not an easy test at all. But we see Abraham's faith in the test. We're not told how he felt, but we can imagine. You see, sometimes as you read chapter 22, some people make the mistake of saying, well, there's not much emotion there. It doesn't tell us how Abraham, you know, felt about this. It just says that he obeyed. He's like a robot. There's no emotion at all. But don't mistake the lack of emotion in the words of these verses for a lack of emotion on Abraham's part. I want you to notice a couple of things. How confused he was. Verses 3 and 4. It's verse 3, sorry. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And I read about this during the week, and he said, this guy's confused. He's loaded up his son and his servants and got the donkey out, and then he's realised, oh, I haven't got the wood for the sacrifice. Things are all in the wrong order. It's like if you're going on holidays, you know, and you're, right, everyone, let's jump in the car, let's go. You strap all the kids in their seats, and then, oh, hang on, we've got to pack the car. And you've got to go back and pack your luggage. That's exactly what Abraham's done here. He's a man in confusion. But notice, most of all, the conversation, the very touching and simple conversation he has with his son in verses 6 to 8. Have a look at those verses. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. It's a funny response, isn't it? Abraham's response, God himself will provide the lamb. Either he's lying in order to hide the reality from Isaac, or he's living in hope that God might step in and change this situation. And I think that's what's happening here. Abraham is living in hope based on what he knows about God as a covenant faithful God. Based on his belief in God's word that Isaac was the promised one who would carry on the family line. Based on his belief in God's word that the Lord will provide. You look in verse 14 there in chapter 22. It says, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. It's not the Lord might provide, the Lord may provide. He trusted, he said, the Lord will provide. He believed in God. I want you to flip over in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, right up near the back. Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's page 1815. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, page 1815 in the Church Bibles. The great verses that give us an insight into Abraham and what's going on in his head. Chapter 11 and verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Even if Isaac had to die as a sacrifice commanded by God, God would raise him back from the dead because the covenant was going to be fulfilled through Isaac. Abraham believed that. Abraham believed that God would be true to his promises. Look at this statement that's coming up on the screen. Abraham believed that God would be true to his promises, even if it meant that his promised one and only son will have to die and rise again to achieve those promises. Interesting, isn't it? Abraham believed that even if it meant Isaac's death and resurrection, God will keep his promises. And when we consider this story about the huge sacrifice that Abraham is asked to make, it makes us ask questions like, why would God do this? What sort of a God is he? But there's another question too. Could God pass the same test that he set for Abraham? You know, when you're a leader, a good leadership principle is you shouldn't ask people to do something that you wouldn't be willing to do yourself. You heard that before? You should never ask people to do something that you wouldn't be willing to do yourself. Brett Lachlan, who comes here on Sundays, he's telling me about his soccer training. And he said the coach is putting them through some really intense fitness training at the moment. But he said what the amazing thing is that the coach actually does the fitness training himself. The coach is passing the same test that he's setting for his players. Can God pass the test that he is setting for Abraham? And see, this moment in history, this testing of Abraham's faith points us to a greater moment in history. It forces us to consider the immense sacrifice that God makes when he offers his one and only son as a sacrifice to keep his promises to us. See, it wasn't necessary for Abraham to sacrifice his son. It wasn't necessary. There was no benefit that could come from that. But it was necessary for God to sacrifice his son for us. It was necessary because of the enormous weight of sin that crushes us. It was necessary because of that sin that brings about spiritual and physical death and drags people into hell. And the only way for us to escape sin and death and hell is for God to sacrifice his son on the cross to take the punishment that our sin deserves. What sort of a God is this? A God who is completely faithful to keep his promises. He is a God who doesn't withhold anything from us, even the life of his one and only son. Great verses in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Are they on the screen? Yep, here we go. Great verses. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? You see the sort of God we believe in? A God who is faithful to keep his promises. A God who provides. A God who is gracious to us, even though we don't deserve it. And we know this statement to be true. God will be true to his promises, even if it means his promised one and only son will have to die and rise again in order to keep those promises. God will be true to his promises, even if it means his promised one and only son will have to die and rise again to achieve those promises. And we see Jesus as the obedient son. Just as Isaac obeyed his father, allowed himself to be tied up, Jesus is the obedient son who goes to death on the cross in our behalf, for our sake. Abraham didn't withhold his only son from God, and God provided the sacrifice, the lamb for the sacrifice, caught in the thicket by the horns. Is there anything that you might be tempted to withhold from God? I'm going to give you a blank space to fill in here. Sometimes we'll say, I'll obey God in this area of my life, but not in this area of my life. I'm willing to obey God by coming to church on Sunday and going to Bible study during the week, but my is more important than God. How would you fill in that blank space? My is more important to me than God. My job, my family, my wealth, my success, my career, my reputation, my anger, my revenge, my gossip, my slander, my lack of care for others, my selfishness, my addictions? What is more important to you than God? What would you not be willing to give up for God? There are always things that we want to withhold from God. And it's very easy to say, I'm happy to obey God as long as I don't have to make any personal sacrifices. That's not full obedience, is it? That's not the obedience that we see in Abraham. Well, God has provided the lamb for the sacrifice. He has not withheld anything from you, even his only son. Jesus has died for your sin. How's God tested your obedience? I'm sure there's been times in your life when your obedience has been sorely tested. How has God tested your obedience? And how have you stood up in that test? Is there anything that you would not be willing to give up for God? Do you trust him enough to say, whatever my lot, whether good or bad, peace or sorrow, it is well with my soul? Do you trust him enough to say, the Lord will provide? I trust him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Abraham and for the amazing courage that we see in him, the amazing obedience and faithfulness to you. Lord, we thank you that you aren't a God who wants child sacrifices, that they are abominable to you. But Lord, we thank you that you're a God who has provided for us the lamb for the sacrifice, who will take away our sins, our moments of disobedience, our times when we fail to give everything for you. Father, I pray that you would help us to have faith like Abraham, to be ready and willing to give up everything for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.